Welcome to the Good News from the Good Book with our guest speaker at the Fundamental Baptist Church located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Some years ago, I had the opportunity to go and spend several weeks in Lebanon after their civil war. And we went from Lebanon north to south. We went over to the Syrian border. This was a time where really Syria was controlling all of Lebanon. And on the Syrian border, the Syrians controlled a little place called Baalbek. Now, if that sounds like Baal, it's because there's a temple to Baal there. Goes all the way back to Roman times. The Romans built a temple to Bacchus, god of debauchery. And of course, the pagans took it over and just made it one of their local shrines. And it's a spectacular presentation of construction. And they literally have foundation stones that are the size of half of this building. So it's really something to see, but it's also interesting to see how the Muslims protect that and are attracted to that as well. So I was there with several other Christian men, and we toured that area, and the Syrian army was all around, and there were different Muslims in their guise and in their gear around as well. Israeli jets were flying overhead and were dropping some bombs or shooting at the Hezbollah, which was training in the area. And the Syrian anti-artillery was going off in the area. And this was before cell phones, when you could watch everything and take pictures of everything and send it and Facebook it and make it live and you know, hold up like you're at the war and you could talk with the jets and all that kind of stuff. This was way back before then. And in fact, we got stopped at checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint. And they were always questioning us about our cameras and everything because we were crazy Americans in a war zone. Now, today, that place is overrun with Syrian army, ISIS, anti-Syrian troops, Russian troops. Israeli troops are still bombing that area. And there's still people living there, including Christians, are living in this area. It's hard for us to imagine up here that there is a place like that with those kinds of things going on. If we could take one of the Christian brethren from there and bring and set them before us, and they can tell us how it would be, our imaginations would be challenged. We could not hardly believe it. And as I've just talked to you about a place on the other side of the earth that you can only imagine, that you can't necessarily see, but that you don't have any doubts that it's real, beloved, this morning I want to tell you today about some other kingdoms. I want to tell you about some real places that, although you can't really go there and you may not be able to see it, you can see it in your mind's eye with a holy imagination today. The Scripture tells us all about it. But we're trying to live our Christian lives without an understanding of this reality. There are three wonderful kingdoms that the Bible explains to us. And when we understand those kingdoms, we'll know who we are, whose we are, and how we're supposed to live. We'll do it with joy and we'll do it with motivation. And you know what? We'll do it with courage as well. As I look out here, I see some gray hair. Some of you are closer to one kingdom than you are to the next. Amen? There are other worlds. They're all created. They're all real. They are dominions and kingdoms. There are principalities and powers. These are realities. They're existing, unseen to us, but they're existing. They're being fought over. They're not imagined. They are otherworldly, but they're going on right now outside of our time and the space in which we live. Their existence is meaningful to us if we'll understand them. And really, only one of these kingdoms is ultimately meant for you and I. And we ought to be living for this kingdom. Paul writes to the Philippians, who were an independent colony, but still under the guise of Rome. They understood about their own city and culture, and they understood about Greek culture, and they understood about Roman culture, but he was talking to them about our conversation. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know this word conversation. Also, really, it's what we're talking about. Amen? See, everybody today, they're talking about, was Trump talking to the Russians? They're talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z and who's drafted to what team and another team. And they're talking about all kinds of things, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a different place and a different kingdom and a different reality that is ours. And that God intends for us to know and understand and begin to actually live by faith, writing checks on that existence. And when you know that and live in that, it makes the Christian life meaningful. It makes Scripture pop. It makes preaching come alive. You see, I got to hear Brother Rader preach this morning, and then I got to hear Brother Rader teach this morning. And you're going to hear me preach tonight, and hopefully you'll come out this week. And I tell you, we're ambassadors for heaven. Amen. We're telling you about a place. Which kingdom are you living for? The first kingdom, hallelujah, is the good news. Our church, for years, did different tracks as we would go house to house and door to door. Brother Rader was down there driving around with me. He said, man, you got people everywhere. I said, we got a little country county with only 70,000 people in it. He goes, 70,000 people? We live right in between Flint and Saginaw. I'm about 30 minutes from about 8 malls. And I hate every single one of them, amen? I can do any mall. I can drive there in 30. I can do the mall in 20, and I can be home in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Is there a place up here to get a burger? I don't know. But forget that kingdom, amen? I want you to understand that conversation is culture. I've been working for over a decade now in the Bible Nation Society, trying to get people to understand that we're part of a gospel culture. This is our conversation. This is what we're talking about. Most people don't know what we're talking about. Sometimes Christians get saved and they never, ever get in context. If it sounds like I'm angry, I'm not. I'm just in a hurry. Now where we're at, we started producing a newspaper. We've got a few of those newspapers up here. The center of the newspaper is always a big, giant gospel tract. But we go around and hand out newspapers, and we're telling people about the good news. The first kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came and landed in a virgin's womb. Spoken into existence, breathed into an existence, just like he breathed this world into existence. He came out and he lived a perfectly sinless life, and when he was ready to start his ministry and to start preaching, his first message, when he heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, his first message was, repent and believe that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those were Jesus' first ministry words. I'm here to tell you about the kingdom of heaven. There is a real kingdom of heaven. We're going to put it over here, stage left. You guys get to be the face of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I might have picked the wrong side. I don't know. Okay. Now, I don't know God's physics. How could we? God is eternal. This is a kingdom of light, and in it is no darkness at all. This is a kingdom of love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit didn't need anything. But they decided in the machinations that they wanted something. They wanted a quote-unquote bride. And they were going to extend their love. This is a kingdom of light, and this is a kingdom of love. It is a kingdom of perfection. It is a kingdom that was meant to be exported. And for us to see it, it's where the God, the eternal Godhead and power are. Whew. Jesus died, was buried, was raised the third day, according to the scriptures, the Bible says. That's the gospel. And he ascended into heaven. He ascended from this kingdom to that kingdom where he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. This is a reality. This is a reality. Now let me tell you something. Jesus also said that the kingdom of heaven cannot be inherited by flesh and blood. you get there? You're flesh and blood. So it's a place that's beyond any of us to get there in and of ourselves. But it's meant for us. It's open to us. I don't think that there's any physics to it. I kind of think of it as a great big circle or as a great big sphere, just so that my mind's eye can compare it to the other kingdoms. But I think in reality, it's something that's beyond maybe our imagination till we get there. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's there right now preparing a place. The Bible tells us about a new Jerusalem, a city, four square, as tall as it is wide as it is long, with 12 foundations, 12 pearly gates, a real place, a real capital city of a real kingdom, and in it there's a place for you.
That's right.
And this place will one day come and overrun this place. Now, this place over here created time, space, and matter, and so it's not subject to time, space, and matter. From over here, God sees you in your mother's womb. And he sees you on your deathbed yet to happen. He sees your childhood rebellions and your teenage rottenness. He sees your adult sins all at the same time. He sees it all. He sees the past, the present, and the future. Wow. In there, there's no night, there's no darkness, and there's no sin. The Bible says, and I love this word, that Enoch walked with God and was not. But he was there. He was flesh and blood, and then he all of a sudden was not. And then Hebrews tells us about this Old Testament that what happened is that God translated him. He translated him out of darkness into his marvelous light. In him is no darkness at all. Now let me tell you about another kingdom. See, this is where our conversation is. This is where our culture is. And by the way, that word, you know, also means citizenship. Amen? Over here is the kingdom of darkness. Sorry, preacher. Now, I can't imagine a pre-angelic, pre-creation, pre-human existence of the triune God, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine that with any darkness. But somehow God knows it, when he decided that he was going to love us before the foundation of the world, and he had the plans of salvation going, there had to be a separation of darkness and light. Because the plan was going to have an enemy, a prince of darkness. There's a prince of darkness. There is evil and there is darkness, and they have a kingdom that is also invisible to us, something that we can only realize, that we can only imagine, but that is very much real. There is a kingdom of darkness that in the book of Revelation tells us there is a great abyss and a great lake of fire. And though it is hot, and though it is fire, and though it is torment, it is dark. Bible says someday there's going to be an Apollyon rise out of that abyss and somehow come into creation and indwell a human, and instead of evil man, an antichrist. Now, the most powerful men in the world today, the last few presidents have all thought that they were God. So we're not too far from some powerful person coming on the scene and being ready for this darkness. The Bible says there's a kingdom of darkness and it's going to influence this world. It's opposite but not equal, the kingdom of light. And between the two, there is a great gulf fixed. They're connected to each other. Jesus says, I'm the door. There's only one way in. There's only one way to be translated. And that's through Christ Jesus the Lord. The Bible says there's apparently an in and out in this darkness. It's called the gates of hell. But when you're in Christ Jesus, you're in the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. This making sense? Listen, I'm just telling you how it is. I just want you to know what I'm talking about. I just want you to know what we're excited about. I just want you to know what kind of culture that we're living. And we want you to put yourself in context, Christian, so that you can begin to read the scripture, hear the preaching, and become alive of it. It'll become more than your necessary food. It become honey to your soul, and it quicken you and enliven you. Now, there's a third kingdom. This is a kingdom that we know of. It is the kingdom of creation. This kingdom is timeless. This kingdom is eternal. The kingdom of creation between the two, connected by a door or by a gate, is finite, is temporal, and is limited. God, the Bible tells us in Genesis, God wants us to know about this context. He wants us to know about this reality. And he said that in the beginning, it was all, when he created the earth, it was all dark. It was darkness. And God said, let there be light. Before there was a sun and a moon to rule over the day and the night, God, there was, before there was even day and evening, there was there was dark. And then there was light. So sometimes we think about light and darkness and, well, the sun and the moon. And some people worship the sun and the moon, don't they? But God tells us what the reality is. You think about even our earth and how it spins and how the sun moves and the moon moves. And so we're constantly in this cycle of night and day and night and day and night and day. It's almost like the sirens of a blue goose, of a police car pulling you over on the side of the road. Amen? It's almost like a siren of warning and intensity between light and between darkness. It's where we're living. It's where the devil's ISIS is. It's where the battle's going on between multiple characters. There's kings and princes in these kingdoms. And here we are. We're on the same footing as Baalbek when I was there. I can't imagine a more horrible place, except that I've been with the saints in that place and sung hymns and said amen to preaching in that place. And I know the light has even gone there. Isn't it great that, Christian, the Bible tells us that we're to walk in the light as He is in the light? That's the context of the culture that we're supposed to live in. And when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have what? Fellowship. Now, when you are saved, you have a relationship, a covenant relationship, by the way, that God made with Himself. You had nothing to do with it. Huh? Remember with Abraham, there was five animals. With Abraham, Abraham's covenant, there was five animals. And Abraham was trying to keep the birds off the carcasses and everything. And Abraham fell asleep, and there came a night, a smoke and a lantern. And God Himself, the Hebrew is Kereth Berith, walked across that bloodline and cut a covenant with Himself. God's promise with Abraham had nothing to do with Abraham. He made a promise to Himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God's promises to Abraham will be fulfilled no matter what the United Nations or anybody says. There's a national kingdom of Israel. By the way, the spiritual concept of it, we get grafted in. But salvation is also God cutting a covenant with Himself. Glory, hallelujah. He's not going to cut that relationship. Some of you parents might have gotten mad at your kid and say, get out of my house. I don't ever want to talk to you again. You're not even my child. You know what? You can say that, but there's still a relationship. There's still DNA and blood and just face it, there's going to be a relationship. But fellowship can be so strained. We can be saved, and in this current situation in our world, we can forget. We're saved and we're in this world and we know that we're saved, but we forget that we're part of the kingdom of life. We forget that that's our conversation, that's our culture, that's our citizenship. When we realize that, guess what? Nothing can stop us. Nothing can disappoint us. When we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God. Paul talked about, he says, 14 years ago, I don't remember. I don't remember if I was in the spirit or in the flesh. It was so real, but I was exalted to the third heaven. He said, and there I met someone. And they talked to me about things that is not lawful for a man to utter. There are things up here that the angels desire to look into that they're not altogether knowing of. There's things that they're privy to. There was a time when Jesus came, which, by the way, if 1,000 years to the Lord is as a day and a day is 1,000 years, how long has it been since Jesus? Been 2 days. I could drive straight for 2 days. Put some Red Bull in my coffee and we're good to go. So it hadn't been any time at all. And what happened? The angels opened up this rift. They were allowed by God to do it. And they said, glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. They were an embassy. And beloved, now you and I are that embassy. The church is that embassy. Your preacher is a man of God. He's trying to live his life as an embassy of light. And you're supposed to be that as well. Now, I told you I'd read some scripture. So how much time do I have? Yeah. Thank you, radio, for tuning in. This is Doug Levesque, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Three Kingdoms. Amen. We got that cut off? Good. Okay. Let's read. Let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians now. Do you understand what the reality is? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand what our culture is supposed to be and the context of how we're supposed to think and live in this light? Now, let the Word of God quicken you, okay? This should really pop. This should really make sense to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul's writing, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I'm wanting you, Ephesians, to understand how it is. I'm wanting you to know what I know. I'm wanting it to be a reality. I'm wanting it to be your culture. And I'm wanting you to understand your citizenship so that you see this sinking ship of creation as a burning planet, doomed, amen? It's going down. Everything that we are, everything that we hope for, everything we want in this life, ultimately is very small. And ultimately will mean not much if you're not in Christ Jesus. Now we got to live, but he goes on and says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Some of you today, light's gone on. Boom. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Can I tell you, Putin, Macron, Trump, these are little names. These are infinitesimal names. These are names that if they're good will live 70, maybe 80 years. These are names that unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ will not enjoy the riches and inheritance that are yours. So we have a different idea about how things are. We have a different idea about how we should live. He goes on to say, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, there's going to be a day. Listen, I think there's another phrase. A lot of times it's used interactively with kingdom of heaven. That is called the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, God's over that darkness. That darkness has nothing on God. He's just determined he's not there. David said, if I put my soul in hell, thou art there. What does that mean? It's all the kingdom of God. People that say, I don't like God, I don't believe in God, they're still under him. They're a little tiny name and they're under him. And the creation, the third kingdom that we're living in, is under God. There is a false political and theological ideal out there called kingdom dominion theory. The Roman Catholic Church practices it. Many Protestant church practices it. Many evangelicals, yea, even Baptists, participate in this. And they believe that we're supposed to work so hard down here in such a way that we make this come to earth. That's not Bible. Now, I think they're brethren, and I think that they see kind of the big picture, but I think it's wishful thinking. I think maybe they love America, and America has become part of their religion. You know, I don't know, but they're wrong. Now, I'm involved in politics as much as the next guy, probably too much for a Baptist preacher, because I'll tell you right now, nobody really wants a Baptist preacher being elected, but to me, it's just another pulpit. I know whose I really am and where I'm coming from, and I'm working down here just telling them like it is. I'm not trying to bring in the kingdom of God. I'm trying to tell them about the kingdom that's coming. Amen. Christ brings that in. We don't bring that in. Now get chapter 2 here. I was saved, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. As an 11-year-old boy, I didn't know nothing about anything. I didn't know about the kingdoms. I hardly knew about my sin, although I knew that I had been a bad boy that day. Someone shared Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 with me. Hallelujah. But can I tell you something? I'm 47 years old. I've been saved a long time. I've preached around Michigan, around the United States, around the world. I've taught through the book several times. I'm not done yet. I'm like Paul. I don't claim to have apprehended it all. But this one thing I do, I press for the mark. Amen? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now I get to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll tell you, I have a whole new enlightened idea. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. When you're on this old stinking earth, this terrestrial ball on fire going down, you're like the people in Numbers in the wilderness that complained and God sent little snakes in the wilderness and they got bit with the snakes. They were full of poison. They were going to die. And they had to lift up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, a bronze snake on a staff. Even so, Jesus said, must the Son of Man be lifted up. We're bit with the poison of darkness. It's killing us. It's boiling inside our veins. And we're going down, beloved. We're going down. The ship is going down. And there's only one life preserver. Look and live, my brother. Live. Look and live unto Jesus. That's the gospel hope.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.